Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
And now your financial choices with host Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Norm. Welcome to the show, folks. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at Your Financial Choices. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And podcasts of prior shows are also available on either of those websites. On WDIY, you just go to local programming, scroll down, look for Your Financial Choices, and look for the menu of programs we've had, and click. Today is August 29th, 2018. The markets were up today, the Dow closing at 26,124, the NASDAQ at 8109, and the S&P at 2914. Our topic tonight is finding money. Let me count the ways. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio, and we'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. And email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So finding money, what do I mean? We get very busy in our daily lives that not only do we not take time to smell the roses, we don't often take the time to find money. We might be earning money, we might be investing money, but are we paying attention to where we might find money or some equivalent? So in essence, you're working, you're investing, you're having your money work for you, or you're working hard to earn the money. But where might be some areas that if we pay a little attention to them might help us accumulate more money, have more money in our pocket, which then the end result of that would be we have more money, we accumulate more money, and we have more opportunities to meet our goals for our future. I want to preface this all by saying I also don't encourage people to become neurotic about this either, though. I have friends who sometimes seem that way. A great friend whose husband's very good with money, and the neighbors would all call her and say, hey, we're putting something on the corner if you want it, because that's how careful they were with money. So let's not be neurotic about it, but some ways are very easy to find money. So we're going to talk about those tonight. One that comes to mind, and that's what made me think of doing the show, because I periodically check this out for clients, is unclaimed property. This is the money that you had at one point, but you lost track of it somehow, and it went away. What do I mean by that? If you have had money in bank accounts, maybe while you were in college, maybe you had former employer plans, maybe you had a refund from an insurance company, maybe you never cashed the check. It could happen if you or your mother or grandparents had stock back in the day when we had stock certificates, and they would mail you a check, the dividend check, when it was that quarterly dividend. And either you moved and forgot to notify the company and they didn't know where to send the checks anymore, or you never cashed the checks. This is called unclaimed property. After X number of years, and I believe it's typically 5 years, I think they were going to modify that, and I don't know if it's by state, but after X number of years, if the company or the custodian or the provider, whoever it is that has these funds, if they cannot reach you or there's been no activity on the account or no activity in communication, they turned these unclaimed assets or property, and it isn't just cash, but in my illustration here, I'm talking about kind of refunds, rebates, bank accounts, assets like that. They get turned over to the state. When I worked at a law firm, they called this escheatment, E-S-C-H-E-A-T, and the funds would escheat to the state. And it's much easier to say unclaimed property. So unclaimed property is really finding money that you might have had at one time and you want to reclaim it. And it's very easy to do, and I don't like when people are misled thinking that they have to use a service to investigate this and find out. It can be quite simple, and especially if you've lived in Pennsylvania your whole life, it's very easy to go on the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue's website. But typically, I can't even remember all the links to get to the exact place. I will just Google PA unclaimed property or Pennsylvania unclaimed property Pennsylvania, and the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue website comes up, and generally it will pop up with the unclaimed property website. You want to make sure you're on a valid government state website when you're doing this. There are other states that don't have their own site, and they kind of conglomerate on another website, and I don't recall the name of that, but I believe New Jersey has part of that, and some other states that work through a site. I can't remember the name, I apologize, but you could just Google for whatever state it might have been that you were living in. What I did notice recently when I looked up one for Arizona is the Arizona website actually showed Pennsylvania unclaimed property as well. So I thought maybe the states are talking to each other now. And that would be beneficial as well. But typically, you would type in your last name. Sometimes if your last name, if there's, 100 million of Smith, then typing in your first name will refine that list a little bit. Sometimes I will start with the last name first to see if there's some other version of spelling of your name. But typically, you type your last name, perhaps your first name as well, maybe a middle initial. And a list will either appear or they'll say your search ended up with no results, which means you were probably careful with your money, paid attention to it, and there is no unclaimed property in your name. But quite often, you would be amazed how often names pop up that you might have some unclaimed property. I did it for myself probably several years ago, and what I had not realized is we had a credit at a store that we had not used, and sure enough, it ended up being, I think, $19.81, and I clicked the button for claim when your name pops up, and usually it'll show your address, or in some of the sites, they show your address, some of the sites don't, or they might show the town. You click claim, and you complete the claim form, submit it, and other information may be required. You may have to provide a driver's license number, or you may have to provide a copy of that, or have your signature notarized. It depends on how large the claim is. So you would just follow that information, and you can print the form or submit it online. And weeks later, I got my check. So it was pretty painless. And I suggest that everyone does it, and periodically, because recall, they might do it every 5 years. So if nothing's there this year, it might be next year or the next year. So quite often I'll try it, especially with elderly people, because they typically are the ones who may be forgetting to cash those checks or get those refunds. So that is the first tip for finding money, unclaimed property. We're at our first break, and the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Not only is becoming a WDIY member a great way to support the programs you love, it has its benefits. WDIY members have access to our weekly member ticket giveaway emails, discover great concerts, theater performances, film screenings, and more, all while supporting the many choices and real voices on WDIY. Make your gift today at 610-694-8100 extension 7 or WDIY.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and we are talking about finding money. Let me count the ways. The phone number this evening is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we just talked about unclaimed property. That's one of the easiest things to do, I have to tell you. I also want to mention quickly Lehigh Valley SCORE. I try to announce some of the programs they have coming up, but if I ever miss any or if you're interested, their website is lehighvalley.score.org. That's lehighvalley.score.org. They help folks through mentoring and workshops and resources for people who are maybe starting their own business, have their own business, transitioning their business, and they have lots of workshops, one on starting a nonprofit, one on advancing women-owned small business, elevating your business by using a growth plan by Goldman Sachs, and another one is time to start or improve your business. So those seminars are all shown on their website that I mentioned. So they come up at periodically and various dates, various locations. So Lehigh Valley SCORE. Now, talking more about finding money. Unclaimed property, Norm mentioned when he was highlighting the show, and I'm glad he mentioned it because I forgot to write it down, and that was 401k matches. This is a real freebie that, boy, if you are working for an employer who provides a 401k plan or a 403b plan, and they have what's called an employer match, if you put money into your 401k, they match it in some way. So, for example, maybe I'm working, I have this 401k available to me, and the employer wants to encourage me to save for my retirement, because if they're going to help save for your retirement as well, then you might be a happier employee. And if you save for your retirement, you could be a happier employee when you start seeing your retirement plan grow. So the employer, to encourage you to contribute and save for your retirement, they say, hey, Lori, if you put in 6% of your pay into a retirement plan, we will match and put some money in that plan for you too. And that match is described typically in the summary plan document, the employer benefits package, where they will say, if you put in 6%, maybe we'll put in 3%. Or they might say, we will put in a match up to the first 3% and maybe half of the next 3%, which would mean they would put in 4.5%. So it could be any configuration. But the point is, if you put money into the plan and they have an employer match, that is free money. They are giving that to you. Now, typically, there might be a vesting schedule on that, so they want to encourage you to stay with the employer. And, you know, you have to be there 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year, and then after X number of years, whatever it might be, you're completely vested. Different plans have different provisions. You'd want to read your summary plan document to see what applies to your employer. But that is free money. It's called an employer match. Some employers do a safe harbor plan where they automatically put in money whether you do or not. That's also free money. So when you are looking at places to work and you're weighing the pros and cons of different employers, you definitely want to ask, what are the employer benefits? Does the employer have a matching program, or do they have a safe harbor plan? Because that is free money for you, saving for your retirement. So employer 401k match. Also, there is employer, sometimes employers will provide health care benefits. And most recently, some of the health plans or health programs that the employers have will also offer incentives for their employees to get healthy. And it quite often relates to income incentives. If you do X number of healthy living lifestyle steps, maybe you get a $50 gift card or something like that. So there are also some healthcare incentives for people to participate. And again, that's free money for doing things that are good for you. We had a couple calls come in off air. We had Linda in Allentown. She said, regarding the unclaimed property, is there a statute of limitation? Does the state ever confiscate? No, I don't think so, Linda. So if you could have unclaimed property, I think from 10, 15, 20 years ago, I think it kind of just sits there. I'm not aware. I'm not an attorney. I'm not aware if the state eventually absorbs it or not, but you can go on there and look. I've had people where we've found money from way back. So I am not aware if there is a statute of limitations, meaning after such time of unclaimed property, could the state just absorb it? I'm not sure about that. Frankly, it probably would make sense that after X number, you know, after 100 years or something, they should be able to take it. So I don't know that. That would be an interesting question to get answered. But bottom line, go online, check if you have any unclaimed property. And then it gets really fun because then you start entering every other person you know, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your grandpa, your grandma. And in fact, you might actually find people on the unclaimed property site who have passed away. And then you might need a death certificate or a short certificate if there's an estate involved. But even if someone has passed away, if you can demonstrate relationship or responsibility, there's still a chance that you could claim that unclaimed property even for someone who has passed away. That was one of the steps, you know, I usually go through when someone has passed away to check that out. Michelle in Allentown, she called to say she found money under her maiden name. So make sure that you also check all the names. That is a good point because that's one of the reasons sometimes I might just put a last name and not enter my first name, because there are on occasion times where maybe a company or store or something may have misspelled your name. So I try to check that. And I also, Michelle, pointing that out, maiden name, also on the chance that if I checked for unclaimed property in Pennsylvania and I lived in Michigan at one point, I will actually go and search for Michigan unclaimed property. Or if I, and I didn't, but let's pretend I lived in California, I actually would go do that search in every state that I ever lived. And same thing with your parents or siblings who've moved, have them check it out. Because I have found unclaimed property for a lot of different people. And I'll say, oh, sorry, I was searching your name and happened to find that you had some unclaimed property. I hope they don't think I'm being snoopy. I never click on the claim form for those other people. I don't want them to think I'm being snoopy trying to figure out what it was that they had unclaimed. I just, you know, I'm trying to do a little service here and find some found money. So I appreciate, Michelle, you calling in and reminding callers to check maiden names. And Linda, that's a good question. And I would just assume that they don't take it back and that you can still apply for that unclaimed property. As I mentioned, I have found it for people who have passed away and it did not, you know, absorb into the state coffers. We were still able to get that money. All right, folks, this is, for me, a fun show, and I love that the listeners are calling in with their ideas as well. So if you have some tips on finding some finding money, you're welcome to call in, too. When we get back from the break, I'll continue the discussion talking about rebates. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. And you can stream live each week at WDIY.org or just listen as you may be doing so. But if you miss a show, podcasts of prior shows are also available at either yourfinancialchoices.com or at WDIY.org. We are talking about finding money. If you have questions or ideas, you're welcome to call them in. You can just give them to Lori. She'll write them down and we'll share them on air. Or if you want to talk live on air or have a question, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Let's talk about rebates for a minute. A lot of times people just don't take the time to fill out the forms for rebates or take the time to investigate rebates. I would say in my younger years, when we were paycheck to paycheck, I was very diligent about rebates. I was also very diligent about getting the newspaper and cutting out all the coupons and matching them up to the sale flyer because the coupons always match with the sales for that week. As I've gotten older and you get busy and you're working so much, I would say I've kind of let some of that go. But if you think about it, that's lost money too then, right? So I never let the coupons drive my purchases, though. I want to put a little asterisk there. I would always decide what I wanted to buy first and then went and looked at the coupons because I didn't want the marketing to, control my brain. So I was always very careful about that. But let's talk about rebates for things that we generally use, and maybe if we had done a little research ahead of time, we might have been able to take advantage of them. So, for example, my husband, I think, had mentioned something about discounts on paying early certain utility bills and things like that, and I couldn't really find anything on that, but I did find, when I was looking for that, PPL and UGI have rebate programs. And at one point, I kind of thought those were temporary, like when there was all the big push for energy saving appliances, et cetera. But when I went on their website, I did not see a date that this was going to expire or anything. But there are rebate programs that you can get for certain appliances, Energy Star refrigerators, Energy Star heat pump water heaters, dehumidifiers. And it says, visit your favorite appliance retailer, look for the PPL Electric Utilities rebate signage on models that qualify. And they list those models on links on the PPL website. So it's pplelectricsavings.com. And you can go under appliances and click on all of these links to see what type of appliances would qualify. And so many people are buying more energy efficient appliances regardless, just because a lot of times that's all you can find half the time when you're going to the store, but also to conserve energy and conserve water, etc. So you need to select the appliance that would qualify and then keep a copy of your invoice showing the date, model number, and purchase number, and then fill out the rebate form online. And the rebates, again, it might be for appliances you're buying anyway. And this is what I'm talking about when I say finding money. If you were going to get these items anyway, a refrigerator, you can get a $35 rebate if it's a qualifying product. But then they also mentioned the energy efficiency that you're going to get is also going to be money for you over time. The certified heat pump water heater is a $300 rebate if it has an energy factor of 2.3 to 2.74. So there's some, you know, criteria that you have to meet if you're buying a particular appliance. It's not going to apply to everything. That's why you want to do a little bit of your homework ahead of time. If you were planning on getting one of these anyway, you want to make sure it might make a difference, skew it one way or another. But a $300 rebate, a $400 rebate if the energy efficiency is a little bit, the energy factor is a little bit higher. And again, also saving on the energy cost of getting those energy efficient appliances. In fact, they said on the heat pump water heater, your average payback is 2.4 years. So it's kind of like that scenario of the study where they gave one marshmallow to the kid today or two marshmallows tomorrow, and the kids who waited for the two marshmallows tomorrow ended up growing up to be the people who, you know, were more successful, because you see the long-term benefit of these things, and that's what this would be. The Energy Star dehumidifier is a $25 rebate. And here's one that I thought was interesting, because my husband and I, when we installed a thermostat in our home that was programmable, what a difference it made in our energy cost. And they have something called a smart thermostat, a savings rebate for a smart thermostat, up to $100 rebate. Again, you want to make sure if the unit you're buying is going to qualify, but you can go on their website and look for that. And I also saw on, I thought this was exciting too, I think it's PPL, appliance recycling. We want to make it easy for you to properly dispose of your old appliance, and we'll pay you to do it. Schedule online for a free pickup of your refrigerator or freezer, then we'll mail you a check for $35. I'm thinking, seriously? So there's certain qualifications you have to, you know, make sure it's clean, and the size, there's a particular size. So there is a lot of criteria, but who thinks to go on the utilities website to check for things like this? So I am telling you, you're hearing it here. There are rebates and opportunities for free money out there. I also then went ahead and went on UGI's website, and they have similar rebates for things that you have to be a UGI gas customer, and there might be other qualifications, but I just wanted to quickly tell you, they have a Wi-Fi thermostat. So a Wi-Fi thermostat with a $100 rebate when you install an Energy Star certified Wi-Fi thermostat, a $500 rebate when you install an Energy Star certified gas furnace for your home heating, a $1,500 rebate when you install a 94 plus AFUE gas boiler. So I, you know, and it goes on, a tankless water heater, $400 rebate. So it has to qualify on their criteria. But who thinks of these things? We bought, a Wi-Fi thermostat for a property that we have. And I'm not sure we would have even thought about this. But if we had known that there would be a rebate, it might be something we would have taken a little bit closer look on. So rebates. And that includes the rebates you see in the store sometime. Keep the receipt and you know, send in for it. Companies build that in to their financials, and they're probably benefiting for offering them and people not taking advantage of them. So you want to make sure that you take advantage of rebates that are out there for things that you would get anyway. If I have time toward the end of the show, I'll talk about some other programs where people can save money if, you know, you need some assistance. So that's under the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission. That's what I did come across when I was looking up utilities and finding money, because for people who are on hard times or have, hardship events, there is help for you as well. And it doesn't mean you're having to buy one of these high-cost, maybe energy-efficient appliances. Maybe it's about you just being able to pay your utility bill to keep your air on. So if I have time at the end of the show, I will talk about that again. And that's under the Energy Assistance Program under the Public Utility Commission. When we continue our discussion, I'm going to talk a little bit about discounts, rewards, tax credits, some recurring charges, and then if I can fit in some things at the end. If you have questions or ideas, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air or off air. Just give your question or comment to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it in, and I'll share it with you. 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Many choices, real voices. We've been listening to a real interesting discussion tonight by Lori Siebert on your financial choices. Your Lehigh Valley weather, currently it's 91 degrees. Heat advisory is still in effect until 8 p.m. The heat index has dropped from 102 to 98, which is a nice thing to know, but it's still pretty hot out there, so stay hydrated. Tonight, mostly clear, low of 73. Thursday, slight chance of showers in the morning, then showers and thunderstorms possible in the afternoon and evening, a high of 90 degrees. Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms possible again, low of 69. Friday, chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day, mostly cloudy, high a cooler 78 degrees, and Friday night, a low around 67, almost good sleeping weather. The weekend is projected to be a bit unsettled, so plan accordingly and keep an eye out on it. We now return to Lori and your financial choices.
Thank you, Norm. Welcome back, folks. We're talking about finding money tonight. So we touched on unclaimed property and rebates and employer benefits, employer match on your retirement savings. So hopefully lots of good ways. And if you hear about these things on the show and you might think they don't apply to you, but in your circle of friends might some of these apply. And for example, I often think of young people starting a new job. Parents quite often, you know, kids leave the nest, you're on your own, good luck. Maybe they talk about financial, you know, decisions. A lot of times they don't. This is one area in particular with the employer match from the on a 401k that if you have young adults in your family or in your circle that have started new jobs or thinking about, you know, where they're going to work, please mention that to them, that this is a real consideration that could make a real difference in their financial picture long term, to get in the habit of saving for retirement early, taking advantage of employer match or safe harbor plans for an employer if they are debating which employer, you know, job offer they plan to take. It really is a good service to make sure you're talking about these things. So let's talk about discounts. Oh, if you have questions, comments, phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me or off air. And if you're not comfortable doing that and you just want to send me a question, that can go through yourfinancialchoices.com. So discounts. This could go on and on. I'm sure there's lots and lots of lists. The thought tonight was to talk about how much are we paying attention to money that might be out there, available, readily accessible, that we're not really taking advantage of. And one item, I thought, well, discounts. What are people doing about discounts? We hear about senior discounts and, you know, folks going out, maybe getting a discount on their breakfast or their lunch. I don't want to, again, plant the idea of because you get a discount or a sale price or a rebate that you go spend money. I am talking about coordinate it with things that you already are doing so that it's not, you know, a marketing gimmick to get you to buy more. I don't want to encourage anyone to spend more than they need to. But if you have a weekly breakfast with a group of friends and it's a nice outing, it's a social thing, and you know, you're not going broke, it's something you've budgeted for, might there be discounts that you would be eligible for? And quite often, the most obvious might be the senior discount when you go out to the diner or something like that. Well, that got me thinking about AARP and member benefits of AARP. We think of that as a senior discount kind of organization. Well, they take members age 50 and over. You can become a member. So a lot of people don't realize that some of what we would deem to be senior benefits when you're going out to eat or having travel or a hotel senior discount actually might apply to you as young as age 50 if you're a member of an organization, as an example, such as ARP. There are other organizations that offer discounts too. It could be AAA. I'm not endorsing any particular organization. I'm just talking about organizations that you may belong to already that you have not realized or considered or thought that there may be discounts that apply by virtue of your having a membership. So AARP, my husband did not want to be a member of AARP, total denial about his age, and yet we are members of AARP, and we get these great newsletters. They have lots of valuable information, and so I'm researching for the show. I go on their website. I say, oh, what kind of discounts do they have? And lo and behold, I found one that's going to be very interesting to my husband because one of his favorite places is Dunkin' Donuts. And unbeknownst to me, they have an ARP discount of 10%, AARP discount of 10%. And if you go on their website, if you are a member, you can click through the links, but there are dining discounts for older adults. I understood from what I found on the website that because you're a member, you don't have to age 65, but that you're a member, again, you could be 50 and get discounts at just tons of places. So if you're already going to KFC or you're already going to Burger King or Dairy Queen or Dunkin' Donuts and a whole slew of restaurants, did you even think to pull out your AARP card? I'm not sure I would even know where my card is or our card is. I'm going to have to go home and look now because now that we know, we're going to have to start taking advantage of this. So think about this for a minute. We might not think anything. You know, you go to Dunkin' Donuts, you spend $5, 10% savings, 50 cents. Doesn't sound like a lot. But if we do that over the course of the year and we do that over any number of opportunities that would be available either through dining or travel or insurance or whatever other member benefits might exist with any one of those organizations that you belong to. 10%. What would you say if someone told you they were going to get you 10% on your investments? You'd be thrilled, I would imagine. So a 10% discount over time does add up. And in adding up those pennies, the pennies become dollars, and the dollars can start to make a big impact. It could end up paying for that breakfast every, you know, fourth or fifth or sixth or tenth time you go. So you want to, and in fact, some of the diners actually have those reward cards that you punch every time you go out to eat, and you can get a free meal after the tenth one. Those are the kinds of things, the little pieces that do add up and make it a difference over time. So check out your memberships for discounts that may be available for organizations that you belong to. I know I am a member of the Norman Rockwell Museum up in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. You might say, Lori, why are you a member there? And it's because I love Norman Rockwell and I want to support the museum. I rarely get up there. But they also are a participant in a group of museums that I could use my Norman Rockwell Museum membership to go to any number of museums throughout the country at no charge. So that also helps you. It's not just an AARP membership, a AAA, and AAA, you know, I go to a shoe store and get a 10% discount on my shoes with my AAA membership. You want to review organizations that you might belong to that provide certain discounts, whether it's for dining, travel, health, wellness, vacations, entertainment. Just went to the grocery store the other night, got grocery store points. The young gentleman, so smart, good seller, should hire him, said to me, as he hands me my receipt, oh, and by the way, you can save X number of cents per gallon on your gas. Well, I get in my car. It's like, oh, gosh, you know, I haven't done that in a while, and I do need gas. I look, yep, I need gas. I ran over to the gas pump, put it in, entered it, and I saved lots of money on my gas. So it's those kinds of things, taking the time to be in the moment. Norm, we have a caller on line one. We have Carolyn from Sailorsburg. Carolyn, hi. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, I can, Lori. How are you?
Good. Do you have an idea for me?
I was thinking, don't forget your FSA money, because a lot of us put money away in flexible spending accounts.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, you might not have used it all. And I know that there's websites to go on what is FSA eligible.
Yeah, that's great. I'm so glad you mentioned it, because we were talking a little bit about employer benefits earlier, and I did not mention flexible spending. And flexible spending could be either for medical or for dependent care expenses. So
right.
it's twofold. But you do want to make sure that you use it, because it's taken out payroll deduction through our payroll, and sometimes people will use like a debit card that's associated with it to pay their medical expenses, but sometimes they don't, or the doctor's office might not take it. And so you're right, you might forget, but you have to submit then the expenses to get reimbursed.
Right.
So that's found money as well if they don't. And by the way, too, Carolyn, when you put money into that flexible spending account, found money is also the tax savings on that, because that money goes in pre-tax. And if you're going to spend money on medical anyway, and your employer provides a flexible spending account, you might as well put it away free, pre-tax, and that's found money. So that's great. I'm glad you called to mention that.
Yeah, I was amazed at the things that you can use that for. You can, you know, if the end of the year you haven't used it all, you can get a good, like, first aid kit together, or stock up on, you know, certain things.
Well, contact solution, I think, is still covered. Contacts, the chiropractor.
Yeah.
Some people don't realize that is covered. So eyeglasses, dental. So there are a number of things. So you said there's a website you can go on and see a list. I don't have that off the top of my head. And I don't know if
I was on there. It was the end of last year, but it's, if you just start with FSA eligible expenses, that'll work.
Okay, that's great. And then taking the time to submit those receipts or go online and do it. Sometimes people don't, you know, feel comfortable doing that, and then they just say, oh, it's not worth it, and they don't realize they already saved that money out of their paycheck, and they need to do it. So,
oh, it's worth it.
Otherwise, it's lost.
Yeah.
Okay, Carolyn, thanks a lot for calling in.
Okay,
I appreciate
thank you.
It. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So let's take advantage of those discounts and those employer benefits, as Carolyn just mentioned. Let's talk for a minute about rewards. There was an article written by a gentleman, Gregory Karp, who I have a little history with. Greg used to be a writer for The Morning Call many, many years ago. And back when I first started in radio, I had him on the show a couple times, because he had written a book. Oh, gosh, no, I just can't remember the book. But I saw that he had written this article for NerdWallet. He's a finance writer for NerdWallet. And he wrote an article about rewards, the best credit cards for rewards. There was lots of discussion. I think that what happens, it's interesting to me, because he wrote, you know, and highlighted all these different credit cards and where it might make sense to take out a credit card depending on what kind of rewards you wanted. And there were like 300 comments on the article, and I thought it was so interesting because people were saying, oh, this card does this, this card does that, why didn't you mention this card? And you realize how personal the rewards are to people. So there are particular cards that you may want to open an account with, credit cards I'm talking about, if you are someone who wants travel rewards. Maybe you're just someone who wants cash back. Maybe you there was a card in particular for families where you could get cash back from your supermarket shopping. Then there's another one for customizable rewards. So I will go through some of that in a little bit more detail when we come back from our next break. But I also, again, like to mention, I don't encourage people carrying balances on credit cards. If you're going to use a credit card for the rewards, it's awesome. You pay it off each month, you get the rewards without the cost of carrying a balance on a credit card. So when I come back, I'll talk a little bit about that and then highlight some tax credits that I think are worthwhile looking at and touch on a little bit on recurring charges that people have on the credit cards as well. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And we are talking about finding money tonight. So really quickly, I want to refer to an article about credit cards, the rewards. So we're talking about finding money, the rewards you would get on a credit card. And Gregory Karp wrote an article called, for NerdWallet, called Best Rewards Credit Cards of 2018. And he says, credit card rewards come in two flavors, points and cash back. Treat yourself to this, to the best card for your lifestyle. And it's on their website, nerdwallet.com, and then /best/credit-cards/rewards. So, but nerdwallet.com, if you just search for best rewards credit cards of 2018, you'll find his article. And what's nice about the article is he talks about a number of cards. He talks about what your desire is with these, whether it's travel or cash back, what's the best card for families, as I said. He mentions the intro APR, the regular APR, and the annual fee, if there is any, and the recommended credit score someone would have in order to qualify for the card. So let's not forget about that. But I think he lays that out. And then he talks about the benefits of each one. So for example, there is a card where he says there's 5% cash back at different places each quarter, like gas stations, grocery stores, restaurants, Amazon, or wholesale clubs, up to the quarterly maximum each time you activate. But then you also earn unlimited 1% cash back on all other purchases automatically. And then there's intro offers, and he talks about benefits, drawbacks, and bottom line of each of these different cards. And I think it could be worthwhile to go in and look at some of these if you are interested in rewards, to do your homework and make sure that there's a card that works for you. When I was looking at some of the comments on the article, what I was finding is some people were commenting saying, yeah, I had this great reward program and then they changed it midway and I wasn't getting those great rewards anymore. So obviously it's something that you have to monitor as you go along. Don't just set it and forget it. Monitor it and then also make make sure that you can keep up with the payments. Don't put money on your credit card just to get a reward. You want to, you know, be smart about it. So that article is available to look at if you want. So nerdwallet.com, Gregory Karp. Best rewards credit cards of 2018. That's found money as far as I'm concerned. Let's talk about tax credits for a minute. And tax credits, I could probably do a whole show on, you know, one tax credit or two tax credits. Tax credits, to me, is also really found money. Quite often, it is for things that you are eligible for anyway on your income tax return. It might just mean you have to make sure you check a particular box or that you fill out a form, or you do a little bit of planning with your tax return. So some of the credits that we see, I'm going to run down really quickly, and then I'm just going to give you an example. So there is an earned income tax credit. Typically, the earned income tax credit applies to lower income individuals that are working, hence the word earned income tax credit. So it's to encourage people to work. But if you're low income, it still might be hard to make ends meet. So there might be a tax credit associated with that. And typically, if you have families and children, the credit, there's different thresholds, and the credit may be more than if you were a single person, even though those are still available to single people. It's a little bit harder to jump over that hurdle. Child and dependent care credit. Child credit is going to be huge this year. It's more people are going to qualify for it because they raised the adjusted gross income from 100-some thousand to like $400,000. So a lot of people are going to qualify, if they have children, for the child credit more than we've seen in past years because the threshold is just jumped so high. The reason the threshold jumped so high, I should mention, though, is because they took the exemptions away. So when they took the exemptions away, we have higher standard deductions, no exemption, but they raised the qualifications for getting that child credit if you have children still at home. The dependent care credit, if you are paying expenses for child care, if you're not doing it through your flexible spending account, or you flexible spending account, maybe you did $1,000, but you had $5,000 of childcare expenses, you are still would be eligible for the dependent care credit. And some people don't realize that. It just because you used your FSA doesn't mean that's the only costs that are eligible. If you spent more than what you put in to your FSA for child dependent care expenses, you may be eligible still for an additional credit. There are caps on that, and different thresholds have different rates of the credit. So it's something you have to go through. It's a form 2441 you would go through to see if you qualify for the dependent care credit. There's an adoption credit, credit for the elderly or disabled. I don't think I've ever seen anybody get that. So I'm sure that's completely off the radar. I remember trying to get that for my father many, many years ago, and it seemed insurmountable to be able to qualify for that. The savers credit is the one I wanted to highlight. The savers credit is for people who are saving toward retirement, but their income might still be kind of a little bit lower. So it's an extra benefit. You have to be 18 or older, not a full-time student, not claimed as a dependent on another person's return. And the form is Form 8880. And the amount of the credit is 50%, 20%, or 10% of your retirement plan or IRA or ABLE account contributions, depending on your adjusted gross income. And the maximum credit amount is $2,000 or $4,000 if you're married filing joint. That's free money. Now, you might think, gosh, well, if I'm not making that much money, I might not be able to save, you know, into a retirement plan. But guess what? If you're doing it through work, through an employer plan, you still might qualify. Because if you're doing a little bit through the employer plan, that still is a retirement plan that may make you eligible for that. It all depends on your income and all those other qualifications. So let's not rule that out. That's a kind of a favorite credit for me for younger people that qualify for it. There's a foreign tax credit. people miss this on their 1099 divs or their 1099 consolidated statements. When you get your income statement from your broker at tax time, you enter all the interest and dividends, but you say, oh, I don't know what that foreign tax credit is, and that form 1116 is a nightmare. I don't want to fill it. Well, there's a box you can check. You can elect not to use the form 1116. It's very complicated and comprehensive and horrible. You can just say, I waive that as long as your foreign tax credit is below, I believe, $600 if you're married, filing joint, I think. So if your foreign tax that you've paid on your investment accounts is below a certain threshold, you can just put the credit on page 2 of the tax return without having to do any other forms. And people miss that. So you want to pay attention to that if you have any international holdings in your regular investment accounts, individual or joint accounts. Excess Social Security tax withheld. If you work two jobs and you're a higher income earner, then sometimes each employer has withheld the Social Security, and maybe together your income is over the threshold, and you might be entitled to a excess Social Security tax withheld. If you do your return yourself, you might miss it, or you might jimmy the software because you won't believe it, but trust the software or have someone else prepare your return so that it does get caught. Lots of different credits available. Of course, tons of education credits. I'm not going to get into that tonight. I've done whole shows on that. American Opportunity Credit, the Lifetime Learning Credit. We love those. You got to be smart as to qualify for them, to make sure you're doing everything the right way, coordinating it with other education benefits like withdrawals from 529s. You want to make sure there's a coordination of the benefits. You can't double dip, but we love the education credits. Also, for people with health care, if you're below certain thresholds and you're buying health insurance on the marketplace, you may qualify for premium tax credit. Some people get that up front, and when they're applying for their health insurance, some people don't know what their income's going to be, or they think they wouldn't qualify for it, and you don't take it up front. You're just paying your premiums out of pocket. You're going to get a 1095A from the government that tells that you bought health insurance on the marketplace. You want to enter that information into the tax return to see if perhaps your income is low enough that you might still qualify for that premium tax credit on your tax return, and you get that refund or that extra credit right there on your tax return. It would come through either to offset tax that you already owed or possibly a refund. So lots of found money that's there already. We just have to be a little bit smart about what we're doing. Recurring charges is kind of my last theme tonight. How many times have you signed up for auto payment on something and didn't revisit it? I think many of us have done that. We're just a little lazy. When you're looking at your credit card statement every month, you know, that's what I tell people to highlight on your credit card statement all the eating out. Highlight, you know, your gas. How much are you spending on gas? Well, don't forget to highlight that recurring charge that you don't even know what it is anymore because it's been there for 3 years. Occasionally, you'll get a notice that a company might want you to refresh your credit card or your expiration date, and that might be the alert to go look at that and revisit whether you need to maybe discontinue some of those recurring charges, whether it's, I'm trying to think what it might be, sometimes magazine subscriptions go through that way. I know that my husband and I make donations sometimes recurring, and there might be places that we might not want to support anymore, some political action committee or something. So you want to revisit that to see if it's something that needs to be revisited. And it may be fine to keep it going too if it's a cause, magazine, or something that you want. But quite often there are charges that we don't even realize we're paying anymore. All right. So I think that kind of wraps up just some of the ideas I had on finding money and that our listeners had on finding money. I appreciate those calls and I appreciate the engagement, of course. I love listeners of this show because you are engaged and I love this informed audience we have here at WDIY. But if you think of anything else and you want to send those ideas through the email, that works as well, yourfinancialchoices.com. We try to gather this information and share it when we can. But we hope that you found it valuable. And I'm trying to think if I came up with a topic for next week. And I think I'm going to have a guest next week. Dan Banks from Silvercrest Insurance is going to talk about Medicare planning. So I hope I get him next week. We did have it on the calendar. So that'll be Medicare planning, the supplemental plans, and how to navigate that. It can be very confusing. So hopefully Dan will be here with us next week. I want to thank Norm for being here. Thank Lori for being here. Thank you so much to the listeners for calling in, sharing your ideas and questions. And we have coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.
You've been listening to Lori Siebert and Your Financial Choices.